The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse.
The beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan. Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
They're here.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
As maple leaves fall in the heartland, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Welcome to our humble bunker, everybody. We are so pleased to be back with you after a couple of weeks off for various reasons, mainly because I've been sick.
And you can still hear a bit of that in Sharon's voice, but trust me, it sounds a lot better than it did a couple of weeks ago.
It's about two octaves higher than it was a couple of weeks ago.
There was one day when I talked to you on the phone, and we confirmed that you were singing an F below middle C.
Yeah.
Which, for those of you who don't know, is somewhere around here.
Yeah, and actually, that's a note that I can hit anyway, but just barely hit it. This one, I could have gone lower. I mean, I was hitting that note like a bass.
Yeah, yeah, and that one of the songs my quartet sings, that is the final note that the bass sings in that particular song, Old St. Louis. So yeah, it was a bit frightening for Mike, because he's worried about losing his job now. So
well, exactly, and I'm aiming for it.
Yeah, only when you're not feeling well.
Oh, well. I'm getting better, and I want to thank everybody who have been praying for me. So many of you have sent your prayers and good wishes along, and I so appreciate that. I want to thank the Lord God Almighty for giving me a wonderful husband, and I hear a dog bark.
Sam is on patrol. We don't usually hear him alerting like that, so that's kind of interesting.
He just finally realized the geese went over a few minutes ago.
It took him a little while. Yay, get out of here. October 16th, 2011 is the date, and again, thank you for inviting us inside your audio device of whatever type it happens to be. We're
that voice inside your head.
Yes, beamed in the little shortwave frequency.
Exactly. Remember that a few years ago? Did they ever actually implement that? Remember how they were practicing?
Direct to skull.
They were practicing with that or doing a trial run of that in New York.
Yeah, and freaking people out. Yeah, the voice to skull technology. It's out there. It's being used occasionally. I've seen here and there, and I don't have any documentation to hand, so I'm not going to.
So is it used in the battlefield? Put down your gun.
I guess that would be the time to use it.
Turn your gun on your fellow soldier.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not quite sure what the benefits of the technology are
Krispy Kreme donuts.
Exactly. I was going to say the commercial possibilities are endless. Eat Oreo cookies. Eat Oreo cookies. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, well, boy, since last we spoke, it's been, 3 weeks since we posted our last program?
It's been way too long, and we're very sorry for that. We would rather be doing the shows every week, and we'd do them every day if we could. And, you know, we've tried that.
Yeah,
Derek's just not here enough.
Yeah, the timing just doesn't work out too well.
No, and of course, those of you who were hung in there with us with our Blog Talk Radio live adventure, we tried that for a while on a daily basis. And if you haven't figured it out yet and have been expecting us over there, we apologize for that as well. We just decided not to do the live show anymore, simply because there was a hum in it. It was really annoying.
So it was weird, too, because we didn't have it when we first started the program.
No.
And it somehow developed during the course of the months that we used it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a neat technology, and there are many great ministries that are using it to do a live program. But it requires you to make an appointment with us, and for those who did, we thank you for being willing to set an appointment to sit and listen to us, folk out here in the middle of Illinois, kind of ramble and rant. But we just saw on the statistics provided to us by Blog Talk Radio that about 20 times more people were downloading the archived show. And so it seems that...
Even more than that. I would say maybe 200 times more.
It was a huge difference. So we just felt that in terms of the effort to prepare a program, it gives us a little more flexibility in our schedule to actually live lives and become part of a church family. We found a church home, as we talked about.
see.
I've gotten active with something I have loved doing for many years, which is singing a cappella music with the barbershop chorus here. And thankfully, it is directed by the fellow who also directs our church choir, which is kind of neat, and gives you an idea of kind of the direction of many of the guys in the barbershop chorus, even though it's not a religious organization. We tend to do quite a few.
They tend to be pretty conservative bunch.
Yeah. And sing outs at churches and things
many
like
are
that.
Christians.
So anyway, so that just allows us to actually interact with people, to be in the world, not of it, we pray, but in the world, and still present a well-prepared show. Again, we pray. Boy, interesting thing this week. It was 50 years ago, just about, that a United States president sent armed military advisors to a remote spot on the planet, which then developed into a long-running military conflict known as the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
This past week, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, John Boehner, was notified by letter that, once again, an American president has decided to send armed military advisors to a remote spot on planet Earth, this time
Uganda,
to combat an organization called the Lord's Army. Now, John F. Kennedy sent 1,000 armed advisors to Vietnam on the QT, because this was in violation of the Geneva Convention, actually. This deployment is 100 armed advisors. And there's no question that the Lord's Resistance Army is a cult, and a very dangerous one at that, that engages in mass murder, rape, just slaughter. It is not... these are not nice people.
No. No. Well, let's put it this way. The press that they're getting paints them as not very nice people, and they're probably not.
Well, yeah.
But they are fighting against an incumbent president who is, according to many who write in Africa, allafrica.com and other sources like that, people who live in that area, who have some sort of chops when it comes to discerning the geopolitics, geopolitics of the region, say that the president there, and I'm sorry, I don't have his name in front of me, and my memory is just, I'll get it here in a minute, that he is really heading up almost a make-believe government. I mean, and the truth, Museveni, and the truth is that many of the governments in those areas, they don't have much of a hold. They have, it's sort of like Gaddafi. They have a little, you know, fiefdom that they control, and they intimidate everybody else because the army is so big. The truth is that the actual stronghold is relatively small, and so everybody else, all of the other tribes, fall into line because this army. Well, apparently the Lord's Resistance Movement has been fighting against Museveni for a long time. It goes back to 1988 when Alice Lakwena, who established the Holy Spirit Movement there in Uganda, and she claimed that she was a prophetess from God and that she had been sent to get rid of Museveni, and that they were supposed to, all of the people living within Uganda were supposed to cast off witchcraft and spiritualism and follow only God and only follow the Old Testament. It really doesn't sound like a Christian organization according to what you and I might really define it. They, in fact, she told her followers to cover their bodies with shea nut oil, you know, the shea butter that we all love to have in our little, you know, little skin products. They were to cover their bodies with shea nut oil, which would protect them from bullets. And they were never to kill a snake or a bee. And these were just little things that within her Holy Spirit movement, the Lakwena said, would protect her followers. And then later on, Joseph Kony came in, and he became sort of the new head preacher, I guess, in a way. The truth is that the United States is, in many ways, getting in bed with Museveni by sending in these advisors, and they are propping up, I don't know if he's a puppet dictator, I assume he is, since he is beholden to the West and to Europe, because the truth is that the United States and Europe have been infiltrating the Horn of Africa for the last 30 or 40 years.
Right, and there's a lot going on there. Museveni, and again, we really need to talk with somebody who's got more information on this group.
I mean, we're just telling you what we're reading. I mean, we have no clue other than what we can read.
Yeah.
And if it's not on the internet, well, it's not true anyway, but but there are, you know, in fact, earlier today, while you were working on your reports, your call reports for last week, I was watching a YouTube video at, it's a talk show from Nashville, I think, Nashville, Tennessee. And the gentleman being interviewed is an expert in what's going on in Uganda and in the Horn of Africa and Eritrea. Eritrea is another interesting area. Isn't Eritrea the big leader in Eritrea during the late 20th century, mid to late 20th century, was Haile Selassie?
Haile Selassie was the Ethiopian leader.
Was he Ethiopian?
He was the Ethiopian leader who was...
We need to do a lot of research on this.
Isn't Selassie the one who is worshipped as part of
Rastafarianism?
Rastafarianism.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Right. Okay. He was. Haile Selassie, Rastafari movement, worshipped as Jesus incarnate among Rastafarians.
In other words, the Christianity in Africa is. In some regions, mm-hmm. like within the United States, there are so-called Christian movements within the United States that have very little to do with Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and this is while we started reading or discussing this, a bell rang in the back of my head.
No, that was my chair.
Well, it had the same net effect. It got me thinking. Sorry, Sam. Didn't realize you were under the Sam's under the desk. Sorry.
Come here, Sam.
Whoa.
Come here.
What? You know, it's like a great white shark. When Sam opens his mouth to snarl, his teeth somehow rotate and move and lengthen. It's really bizarre how that happens. It's frightening. It's frightening. I remembered the interview that I did with Jeff Charlotte, the author of The Family, which took a look at that evangelical group or group that self-identifies as Christian evangelical out of Washington, D.C., called The Family or The Fellowship. And Doug Coe is the leader of the group, and he has referred to Museveni, the president of Uganda, as the fellowship's man or the family's man in Central Africa.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Remember, Uganda was the nation that was considering a bill that would have outlawed homosexuality and would have implemented a death penalty for anyone convicted of homosexual rape. Museveni has been in power for 25 years, since 1986, and the U.S. government continues to support Uganda and his government. But according to Charlotte, Jeff Charlotte, the author of The Family, Museveni has connections or links to the family. Anyway.
You know, you should get in touch. I'll come in again. You should try to get in touch with Jeff Charlotte and see if he would like to speak to this new development and how what he thinks the angles are, if he thinks that there's a hidden agenda. And, of course, there is.
Well, and what the hidden agenda is, there probably is more than one as we try to peel back the layers of the onion in a part of the world we admittedly know very little about. You wouldn't expect the administration of Barack Obama to be doing the bidding of a conservative Christian group like The Family, although it was noted by Jeff Charlotte in the book that Hillary Clinton had attended Bible studies mm-hmm. and talked about Doug Coe as being a spiritual advisor. WorldNet Daily is reporting that George Soros has links to what's going on in Uganda and that Uganda has a fledgling oil industry with a friend of rather Soros having some investment or connection to the fledgling oil industry in Uganda. Now, they're talking about 6 billion barrels of reserves possibly in Uganda. I'm not sure how that compares to, say, Saudi Arabia or in the United States. But
I don't know, but I would say it's probably more than that with regard to the Horn of Africa, because there's a strategic position mm-hmm. with regard to the Horn. And we're going to get to some of the strategy and war drums that are beating here in a few minutes. But
By comparison, reserves in Saudi Arabia is something like 264 billion.
Yeah,
so
I think they have the most.
6 billion
they
is
win.
Kind of small potatoes.
They
yeah.
win.
Yeah.
There is an organization called the Elders. that I want to talk about just really briefly, and you can take a look at their organization, theelders.org. The members here, and they're really concentrating on third world countries, especially countries within the African Union. Nelson Mandela, Kofi Annan, Jimmy Carter, Desmond Tutu, and a host of others that don't have names that are quite as well known, but I'm sure that have a great deal of influence within their spheres. I'm not sure that they're going after seven mandates or anything like that, but it would be interesting to see exactly what their papers read. And I've only had a few minutes to look through their stuff. This is a story that I found before I got sick, so we didn't get a chance to talk about this. But the UN has been taking aim at making changes, humanitarian changes within the African Union for a long time. And sadly, along with those humanitarian changes, come advisors and other UN officials who inevitably become embroiled in some sort of scandal with regard to the locals, sadly. So it makes me wonder, you know, just how well vetted these people are that they send out. But in addition to that, we also have in Djibouti is the Joint Task Force for the Africa Command.
Yeah, we've been looking to get our fingers into this African pie for some time. Apparently, and maybe this is oversimplified.
Or wrap our heads around it. That's probably a better way to do it.
Well, I mean, we in terms of
the U.S. United, I was going to say United you and States. I.
You and
we
I,
really,
we're, yeah.
No.
No, we. You're right. We are just trying to get our minds around what's happening here. But what appears to be happening is that the United States missed out on the colonial adventures of the 19th century in Africa, and now we're trying to make up for lost time. That's my guess. George Soros is just getting back to Soros for a second. He heads up a group called the International Crisis Group. And last year, in April, they sent a report to the White House asking U.S. lawmakers to send special forces into Uganda to capture Joseph Kony, head of the Lord's Resistance Army. Now, again, does it have anything to do with his investment in the oil industry there? Don't know. But they're claiming, and this is like the Bush doctrine, which is essentially we reserve the right to preemptively attack you if you pose a threat to us. And taking it a step farther, Soros and the ICG claim the right the right to protect. In other words, the right to penetrate nation states. Now, that's his phrase, in order to protect people from other people inside that nation state, because the Lord's Resistance Army doesn't pose a threat to the United States of America in any way, shape, or form.
What a paternalistic attitude. I mean, for goodness sake, the Western nations have decided that only we get to decide who really should be benefiting from natural resources and who really should be in charge of those individual countries. And if you happen to make decisions that we don't agree with, if you are engaging in what we consider humanitarian grievances, then we'll just take you out.
Yeah.
In fact, you may even lose your right to be called a sovereign nation.
Yeah. Yeah. So the elders.
I'm not making
Soros,
that up.
No. See, you got these groups that have decided that they're the deciders and they get to decide. Apparently.
Yeah. Ultimately, that is what it is.
Yeah. Now, again, we can, if the accusations against Kony and the Lord's Resistance Army are true. And I will be talking to somebody who's actually researched this organization, what they believe, what they're about, next weekend, Tony Kale, who's been doing research and work in Africa on the overzealous persecution of accused witches and shaman and so forth. There are children, women, unwanted relatives who are being done away with by being accused of witchcraft, and so they're being put to death.
This is the new Inquisition.
Yeah, exactly. And so Tony, anyway, as part of his research, has looked into the Lord's Resistance Army. So we'll talk about this from somebody who knows something about it next week, and that'll be posted on October the 23rd on A View from the Bunker. But if the accusations against the Lord's Resistance Army are true, the accusations of mutilation, mass murder, rape, forced conscription into his fighting force, then I think we can agree that he's a bad guy. But why do these wealthy European or wealthy Western, or at least Westernized elders, get to decide who gets to intervene and where And why does it always seem to be middle and lower class American youth who get sent into these places to shed their blood on behalf of these grand designs that these elites come up with, invent?
It is not a pleasant world in which we live.
It is not.
No, it is not. Well, I mentioned earlier that we were going to talk about strategic positioning and warfare, the drums of war beating within the Horn of Africa area. Mm-hmm. And there's a drill that's taking place this week. Isn't there Israel and the United States participating in, is it naval drills?
It's a big airlift drill, which was kind of interesting because it just makes me think about how...
Are they practicing taking prisoners out of Israeli prisons and taking them over and giving them away?
Well, no, I was just thinking, and again, I'll have to do a little quick read here on the airlift drill, which is to begin tomorrow, October the 17th of 2011. U.S. 22nd Airlift Squadron is going to deploy 41 giant transport planes to perform this exercise over the Middle East. But it just made me think very quickly about the woman who was being pursued by the dragon who wanted to, you know, destroy the man-child. And as soon as the man-child was born, she was taken away into the desert
by an eagle,
wings of an eagle. So I just wonder.
Oh, I think many, you're not the first one.
Right.
Many of us over the years, the decades that, well, have thought that the United States may be represented there now.
So these planes will be in the Middle East, over in the skies over the Middle East, ready to land at any moment. The Israeli, Egyptian, and Saudi armies are in a high state of preparedness. The USS John C. Stennis aircraft carrier is on the way from the Persian Gulf to the Mediterranean. And last Tuesday, October 11th, the Stennis was nearing the Red Sea. This was about the time that we were accusing Iran of trying to assassinate the Saudi ambassador to the United States by blowing up his favorite
that's
restaurant.
That's right. Yeah. Good heavens.
So
that, you know, that story never made any sense to me.
Well,
let's see. We'll get somebody within the what is it they called the code? No.
The Al-Quds Force. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Yeah, the Quds Force.
KODS is the
Quds Force. I think it's Quds. We'll get someone sort of low down in there, and he'll hire a drug runner from Mexico to come in and assassinate this diplomat from Saudi Arabia in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
What?
You know, and it's really funny that the plot sounds so convoluted and implausible that almost every news story that I've heard about this plot says it reads like a spy thriller. It sounds like the plot of a spy, you know, of an action thriller movie. Well, maybe there's a reason. Maybe it's because, like a spy thriller, it's fiction.
Well, you know what? I even saw an interview with, the guy who wrote, the character that was in... that Sean Connery, Red October. That series.
I know who you mean.
Who wrote
Jack,
that?
Tom Clancy.
Tom Clancy. I think I saw him interviewed, but I also saw, and this is even better, so forgive me, brain still shifting into I'm not coughing yet mode. the gentleman who wrote Syriana.
Oh, Bob Baer.
Bob Baer.
Uh-huh.
I did see him on CNN. I wasn't hallucinating that one. He was. I may have been hallucinating the other one. He was on CNN and discussing whether or not the Quds story is even real. He doesn't seem to think that it fits their their everything that he knows about them.
Yeah, I've seen some other stories that have come out now with questions being raised about the veracity of this story here. I mean, essentially taking a guy who was a used car salesman in Houston as the point man in this plot to blow up the Saudi ambassador. I mean, what would be gained by this? Well, the Saudis and the Iranians don't like each other. Iranians are Sunni, or Shia, rather, and the Saudis are Sunni.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can actually, you know, hang this on Iran, you might push the Saudis to declare war against Iran, which then would, you know, as allies of the Saudis would bring us into that conflict, possibly. Now, Debka, which is a website that we've referred to many times, debka.com, has a story on their premium site, so I've not read the whole story, just the excerpt, that claims a radical group inside Iran was responsible for putting this up because they want to force a conflict with the United States.
Oh, that's interesting. That sounds like something we'd do.
Wait
a minute. Did we know that they knew that we knew that they knew that we did it?
So we're talking false flag from both sides, perhaps. The United States administration, the Obama administration, is treating this like it's a real deal. And there's been some very stern language coming from members of the administration and members of the House and Senate.
Thought I heard a goat.
Oh, that's Sam grunting underneath his blanket over there.
He's singing Old MacDonald underneath there.
Yeah.
He loves that song.
Squirrel. Anyway, so it's a very unusual situation. Carl Levin, Democratic senator from Michigan, even said that this might be construed as an act of war.
Yes.
And
yes.
Carl Levin
Pete
is
King
not
said the same thing.
Republican Congressman Peter King. So mm-hmm. You've got members of both major American parties that are, you know, beating the drums of war louder than we've heard them at any time since we started doing the show, really, back in 2005.
And there have been sort of QT on the QT stories, former diplomat, former foreign minister, former cabinet minister in Iran. All of these lower level voices, all backdoor people saying that Iran planned on attacking the United States in some way very soon. You know, it's so vague, and it's sort of the neener, 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 we could get you anytime we want to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We just won't do it today.
We'll just keep an eye on what's happening over there because, again, the elites on both sides seem to be pushing and just agitating for this kind of a fight. And, of course, it's the average folk who would just love to be left alone to live in peace on both sides. Who are going to wind up being hurt in
yes,
all of this?
Literally, not only hurt economically, geopolitically, but literally put on the battlefield and possibly.
When the bombs start to fall, kind of disgusting. It is disgusting.
No, it really is. I mean, well.
And
I hate war.
Well, and while we got that going on, we got the military airlift drill taking place beginning tomorrow. On Tuesday, the 18th, the Israeli soldier who's been held by Hamas for, 3 years, 4 years, Gilad Shalit, mm-hmm. is supposed to be released?
Well, he supposedly was going to be released many times over the last, 5 years, 6 years?
I'm taking a look here to see how long he's been. He's been held captive, 5.5 years, longer than Ariel Sharon has
been
in a coma.
Unconscious, yes.
But the deal that the government of Benjamin Netanyahu struck with Hamas is to release 477 convicted terrorists.
I think the overall number is over 1,000.
Well, according to Debka, they're saying 407. Well, that's the first batch, rather, 477.
Yeah.
You're right. The overall total is, the report I saw earlier, was over 1,000. This is the highest price that Israel has ever agreed to pay for the release of a captive. And this is causing some unhappiness in Israel because some of the names on this list that are being released are people who have been convicted of some horrific acts of violence inside Israel. So
I'm sorry, but as a leader, how can this make any sense? Look, I feel terrible for the Shalit family.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just... He was a soldier. I don't even know if he's still alive. So we'll say is a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
When he was taken prisoner, that's something that he knew might happen. If these prisoners of war are released and they go back to their former war of terror,
mm-hmm.
many, many, many civilians on both sides could be killed.
Yeah. And this may provide...
And it sends a terrible message.
Well, exactly. Offers
go ahead and take another soldier.
Because we'll let another 1,000 guys go. And according to Debka, there are 8,000 more terrorists now in Israeli jails. So the deal is 477 now, 2 months from now, another 550 to be released for this one soldier, Gilad Shalit. And we pray that he's alive, that he's been treated well, and that his release will take place on Tuesday, that and that any upsurge in violence that may occur can be contained by the Israeli Defense Force.
Why is it we, well, supposedly, why is it we were able to take out Osama bin Laden and many other people, and yet somehow intelligence doesn't allow for the whereabouts of Gilad Shalit to be ascertained and his, you know, him to be taken home?
I can't answer that question.
Where's, you know, secret agent man when you need it?
Yeah.
Patrick McGoohan.
Well, yeah.
He could have done it.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, without breaking a sweat.
I know.
Well, maybe.
And without, you know, losing his really cool demeanor.
Yeah, that's right.
And probably without a gun.
And no curse words. So.
Yeah, not a one. And probably without kissing a girl.
That's right. Just as a quick aside, just remember Patrick McGoohan. He was the guy who turned down the role, the movie role, of James Bond that became Sean Connery's because he thought that the character of James Bond was immoral, fooling around with all those women.
Mm-hmm.
McGoohan, God love him. Don't know whether he was a Christian or not, but he remained married to the same woman for decades, which is really unusual in that particular business. McGoohan was cool.
He was a class act.
Yeah. Even though he played one of the best movie villains in history, Edward Longshanks in
My Braveheart. Ancestor.
Yeah, Edward Longshanks. Speaking, by the way, of taking out terrorists, there's a story that hit just not long before we did our last program and is kind of faded already from the public consciousness, as I was afraid it would, and that was the drone strike that took out Anwar al-Awlaki.
Mm-hmm.
And Shamir, is it Shamir Khan? He was another American citizen who was considered...
I think it's Shamir, yeah.
Collateral damage. There was some outrage expressed by conservatives and liberals who were rightly concerned about the precedent this sets. And we have talked about this for some time, bring it up every now and again. The president of the United States now claims the right, the authority, and the constitutional right to assassinate American citizens without oversight. Story came out this past week, and again, it got a little traction in the media, but not an awful lot, that there's a secret panel in Washington, D.C. that makes recommendations to the White House over who needs killing.
Mm-hmm.
These people are anonymous. We don't know who they are, what branches of the executive branch they represent, what offices within the executive branch they represent, that is. But there is no congressional oversight. Congress can't say, hey, wait a second, you can't do this. Or at least we need to approve this. The judicial branch has no oversight here, saying, hey, wait a minute, you can't do this according to the Constitution without due process.
Well, according to the article, the role of the president in ordering or ratifying a decision to target a citizen is fuzzy. But the White House spokesman declined to discuss anything about the process, even though apparently it allows this committee to name anybody mm-hmm. to a list of people to be that need killing. And they can present this list to the president, and the president just has to sign off on it. None of this needs ever reach daylight.
This is not the America. We've said this before. This is not the America that we thought we were being raised in.
No.
I mean, think about this. An American president who can just sign a document and an American citizen who's not been charged with any crime, much less convicted,
mm-hmm.
can be assassinated with impunity.
Mm-hmm.
And Congress and the judicial branch have nothing to say about it. They don't even know who's on the list. When did the United States become a dictatorship? Happened sometime in the last 10 years.
Yes.
I mean, this is a power that the people who are occupying Wall Street now would have their eyes, you know, blood shooting from the heads exploding if this had been done by George W. Bush and Dick Cheney.
Oh, that is so true.
Can you imagine Code Pink taking to the streets if it came out that Dick Cheney was heading up this secret panel that was targeting American citizens that were threats to national security
for
killing?
As our sophisticated listeners are well aware, this is exactly why we have a two-party system, so that we can swing back and forth from one to the other. And eventually, you know, have you ever driven your car into an icy road.
Yeah.
If you have a stick shift and you get stuck, you can just rock it back and forth, and eventually you'll get out. Well, sometimes I feel like we are being politically rocked back and forth, and the only people that are getting out of this are those people with a lot of money. The rest of us are stuck underneath the tire.
That's exactly right.
We're the ones giving them traction.
That's right. It's unbelievable that this is not with a very few exceptions, like Judge Andrew Napolitano on Fox Business Network, Keith Olbermann, but he's on a network no one watches anymore. You know, with the exception of a very few men like them,
John Stewart.
John Stewart on Comedy Central.
I know. He points it out more often than anybody else.
It just is really not attracting any attention. It is bizarre. And then our government comes out with this idea, well, the Iranians were going to have a used car salesman contract a Mexican drug gang to blow up a New York restaurant for... Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Well, if he just used a drone strike, it would have been fine.
Well, yeah, and here's something else. If the United States can... assassinate somebody who's a threat to our national security in a third nation that is not at war with the United States, like we did Anwar al-Awlaki in Yemen, why can't the government of Iran assassinate somebody they deem a threat to their national security on the soil of a
third
country?
Because we don't like Iran and we get to make the rules. I mean, that's really how it boils down to.
We're the deciders and we get to decide.
Exactly. Yeah. The Western nations, for the most part, get to decide. And I think that I sense that there's a rush in the agenda of many of those who are sort of the elitists in the Western geopolitical arena, because they sense there is a great sense that China is rising, that there is going to be soon that things geopolitically will flip, and if they don't get it done now, it will be too late.
Well, this is a path that we've been on for some time. The Project for the New American Century made it clear back during the Clinton years that they wanted to get on that path to Persia and take out all of these other nations on the way to Persia. It was General Wesley Clark. We played that audio some weeks back that he heard, you know, on or about, well, just after the attacks of 9/11, that we had already made the decision to go to war with Iraq, and then following that, you know, Libya, Syria, Iran, ultimately being the ultimate goal. And we see those pieces or the news that we're getting, as filtered as it is through the major media, the goal, the pieces seem to fit that puzzle. We'd be happy if it didn't, obviously. Now, how does this affect us as Christians? Well, basically, this just reinforces what we've been saying for, well, the last 6 years, that we are citizens first and foremost of the kingdom of God, not of the United States of America. Does that mean we rebel against the government of the United States? Absolutely not. We're supposed to be citizens of good standing, law-abiding citizens of good standing in the nation in which we live. But we just have to remember, when our government is doing things that are not consistent with the Christian message, we got to step up. We have to say something.
Yes.
We have to say something. Look, this is not right. This is not good. Innocent people will die. And for what purpose? It is not consistent with a Christian walk. And
Now,
sadly, there are a lot of churches in America, Christian churches, in which saying such a thing would not be met very warmly. Well, except maybe for the warm left foot of friendship pointing you in the direction of the door.
In Christian love.
Yes. Anyway, that seems to be what's going on in the Middle East. Tensions continue to ratchet.
Over here, the Occupy Wall Street, Occupy the World, is actually Occupy the World, because they all stink. We want their money. We want their lives. We want green ink. The Occupy Wall Street guys, you mentioned Project for a New American Century, PNAC, a few minutes ago.
Right.
Bill Kristol, of course, is one of the founding members of that, and continues to head up organizations like that. He posted a YouTube video that was really like a commercial for showing what is really going on, assuming that these that these scenes within the video are indicative of what's really going on, and that they're not isolated events or even staged events. This video shows anti-Semitism in the most unflattering light. And this is the big thing I think that we need to take a look at with regard to the Occupy, what fill in the blank, movement that is going on right now. And that is that I fear that it's a major symptom of the United States movement toward a new Hitler regime. That Jews are being they're being demonized, marginalized. In this video, it's very unflattering. I mean, they are being blamed for the Wall Street fiasco, for the banking fiasco. The truth is that there are many who sit on the boards who happen to be Jewish. It does not mean it's a Jewish plot. There are many who sit on the boards who happen to be European, who happen to be Mexican-American, who happen to be African-American. I mean, you cannot go along and pick out bankers and say, because I don't like this particular ethnic group, I'm going to pick out these bankers and I'm going to say, these are the ones that really are causing all the problems. They're the ones who are trying to get rid of all of us, and we need to take them down. This anti-Semitism that is starting to rise worldwide, but sadly over here in the United States, really, really worries me.
I've got it queued up here if you want to
go ahead and play
the audio. This is this is produced by a group called the Emergency Committee for Israel, and we should note...
It's Bill Kristol.
Yeah, we should note. Bill Kristol, who is a neoconservative, and this may...
And he's also Jewish.
Yeah, and we'll talk about, you know, we'll talk about this a little further, but give a listen to this. You'll get a sense of what's being... You get a sense of the message here by hearing the audio.
Political leaders are praising Occupy Wall Street.
American people are now occupying Wall Street. Do you support them?
Well, I support the message.
I think it expresses the frustrations that the American people feel.
I'm with them emotionally, viscerally, in my bones. I know they're right.
What is happening at the Occupy Wall Street protest?
Jews control Wall Street!
You're a bomb, Jew.
The small ethnic Jewish population in this country, they have a firm grip on America's media, finances.
You got the money. That's why you're fighting, Jewish man. You can't even speak English. Are you Israeli? Go back to Israel.
Why are our leaders turning a blind eye to anti-Semitic, anti-Israel attacks? Tell President Obama and Leader Pelosi to stand up to the mob. Hate is not an American value.
Now, again, this Emergency Committee for Israel is headed up by Bill Kristol, who may be floating this out there as a way to convince Jewish voters to vote Republican in the next election. Because all of the politicians shown in the clip, President Obama, former Speaker Pelosi, Spitzer, the former governor of New York, who had the talk show on CNN for a while. They were all the politicians, just happened to all be Democrats. How widespread is this anti-Semitic feeling at the Occupy Wall Street? Don't know.
It's hard to say based only on this.
They didn't appear to be staged events, appeared to be video clips that somebody managed to catch.
That's what it looked like to me too.
And that is disturbing that we're seeing that because, yeah, it does harken back to, say, 1933. The Jews are,
and those rumblings
were
really pretty quiet early on, but they gained momentum.
Yeah.
And you've got enough people here in the United States who are economically really disenfranchised right now. And if you get enough of those people angry and give them a target and say, he's to blame, I fear that, you know, it may not take a whole lot.
Yeah,
for us to quickly move in that direction.
Well, again, as Christians looking at prophecy in the Bible and the history of the Jewish people throughout the Bible, and understanding that the Bible is the history of God and His chosen people against the rebellious fallen angels and their minions, it's not a surprise. It's sad. Especially that in a country that considers itself a Christian nation, that this would happen, but it's not a surprise.
No, it isn't. Well, we are moving closer and closer to those final days, and you mentioned earlier about the eagle's wings that will carry the the woman who's giving birth, the sign of the woman in the sky that we see in the book of Revelation, that she will be carried to safety. Mm-hmm. And we do know that Israel will be carried to safety during those years. And, I would love to think that it is the United States in some way that is part of that. And if for no other reason, that may be why we're still here. That may be why we were ever raised up, was so that we would support Israel, that we would be God's, angels here on earth with mm-hmm. regard to the nation of Israel. And for that reason, we need to stand by the people of Israel. Yeah. We may not always agree with the politicians in Israel, but we have to stand by his people.
Yeah. And I should make a note that I had the interview with John McTernan, author of As America Has Done to Israel. And there were a couple of questions and objections really raised after that interview, because the book connects tragic events, disasters in the United States to American policy against Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple of objections raised, and one in particular about Hurricane Katrina, which John said was connected to an event called Southern Decadence, which is a homosexual rally, not family friendly, shall we say, that was to take place in New Orleans just about the time that Katrina made landfall. And the objection was, so you're saying essentially this, so you're saying, or he's saying, that God killed a bunch of people and flooded the lower Ninth Ward, which is predominantly African American, because of this gay rally? And
well, you got a chance to talk with John again.
I'm going to talk to John again.
So because, rather than speak for him,
it is a difficult question, but it's one that John was prepared to answer.
Exactly.
It's just I, as the interviewer, failed to ask the question.
Well,
so
you know what? You
again.
Can't think of everything, and that's one of the reasons that we really appreciate your feedback. And very often we won't think to ask the questions that you want us to ask, or later on you go, why didn't he ask this, or why didn't she ask this?
So
please, continue to let us know if there's something that you don't understand or don't agree with.
Yeah.
And if we have the opportunity, we will go back to that guest.
Yeah, that is an upcoming interview that you'll hear on A View from the Bunkers. We'll talk about that, because God's judgment, tying God's judgment to specific actions of a particular nation or city or state is hard medicine to swallow.
It is really hard medicine to swallow. Sadly, we see it throughout the Bible, though. I mean, he only stands by so long, and eventually he has. He is a righteous God, and I'm glad I'm not in his shoes.
Yes.
You had an interview, and I think it was the last interview given, with Joe Ortiz.
Joe Ortiz, author of The End Times Passover and Why Christians Will Suffer Great Tribulation. Had the opportunity to talk with him earlier this week. He says it may be his last interview. We pray that Joe's going to be around for quite some time. He's celebrating his 70th birthday as we post this today, in fact, October 16th of 2011. So he is 70 years old.
Oh,
happy birthday,
happy
Joe.
Happy birthday, Joe. We love you.
Yeah.
Hugs.
We may not agree with everything that Joe believes that he's written about in his books as far as the timeline of the end times, but his heart is sincere. We believe that he's doing what he believes is best to the best of his ability with the tools God has given him.
He is our brother in Christ.
Exactly right. So that conversation with Joe, which goes about an hour and 20 minutes, will be posted at A View from the Bunker tonight, October 16th, and I think fitting that it's on his 70th birthday. He and his wife are enjoying and celebrating his birthday party. He's got some medical issues that he's going to attend to when he returns from this little trip that they're taking, and
We'll keep him in prayer.
So, please do keep him in prayer. He's been fighting the good fight for a long time. We pray that he's here.
70 is a nice round number, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It is. Well, also keep David Flynn in prayer, please. He, of course, if you aren't aware, did have successful craniotomy surgery when he was discovered to have had a glial cell tumor. And his doctors are amazed at his recovery.
Mm-hmm.
However, he is facing some pretty pretty devastating bills. And it's not something that he had coverage for, as I understand. So please pray that the Lord will miraculously provide the payment for this wonderful treatment that he received, in addition to thanking the Lord for the miraculous recovery that mm-hmm. he gave to David.
Yeah. According to the information posted at the Watcher Forum, which is where David and others exchange ideas and analysis of what's going on in the world, about 90% of the tumor was removed. But for somebody to be released from the hospital 3 days after a craniotomy is mm-hmm. amazing. He's at last report, and this report is about a week old. He was in California undergoing therapy and is doing very well. There is a link at David's website, and I'll post a link to that in the show notes rather than read it out to you. But there's a link for a PayPal button where you can donate to help David defray the cost of the expenses. Obviously, brain surgery doesn't come cheaply. In fact, I don't think you want cut-rate brain surgery.
No.
But we are thankful for the news that, according to his brother, he is, aside from tiring easily, he is pretty much his old self again.
Praise God for that.
Amen to that. So, well, next week, interview with Tony Kale regarding the Lord's Resistance Army, what is actually going on in Uganda, what is this cult all about, and maybe that will shed some light on why President Obama felt compelled to send 100 special operations forces to Uganda to, you know, go after these guys. I'm still puzzled by this. I think a lot of people are. You know, God willing.
Well, all of these relationships. Well, exactly. Yeah. Oh, please, Lord, let this cold me over. Now, we'll be back next weekend. Thank you again for all your prayers and your love and your many hugs.
And until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content copyright Gilbert House and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out.